Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Happy Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in. Afternoon's Bill Arnold, the Friday edition. I'm Neil Stavem sitting in. Hope you've enjoyed the conversation last hour. If you had a chance to catch it with Bill talking with Fuad Masri, one of our just dear friends, just love Fuad. And he has founded the Crescent Project. I can't recommend that site enough. It's just a great resource for those that are trying to understand a bit more about those who follow Islam, and there's great opportunity to build some bridges. And as earlier this week, Abdu Murray was saying, well, it's not bridges, it's platform, right? And about, you know, diving in the right pool, because there's only one pool that has all the water. I like that one. You want to go back and catch that interview with Abdu Murray earlier this week, too. Well, we've got a great hour coming up this hour. In the second half hour, we're wrapping up Friday with what we call Answered Prayer Friday. And so the phone lines will be open, and it's your opportunity to call in and just share an answered prayer. And it's an encouragement to us, obviously, and it's an encouragement to you, but our entire listening family just benefits from being reminded again how God answers prayer. Max Lucado says, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. So we're going to talk answered prayer coming up the second half of the hour. And for now, I'm going to be sorting my stuff because, Rebecca, we're going to be talking organization with Kathy Lipp.
So oh, good.
Are you ready? I'm getting all my pens lined up.
I feel like we need this.
I'm not doing very well, so I'm
hoping. Do you have to color code that?
I'm hoping that Kathy can help me out. Kathy Lipp, oh, we love Kathy. Talking with her, she's all about organization and going to help us kind of get into a good routine for school. It's back to school time. I mean, all of us, frankly, need a good routine, so we'll work on that in just a few minutes. Kathy Lipp coming our way here as we get the afternoon going at 6:30 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hope changes everything. Isn't that a great thought from Max Lucado? Hi, I'm Dick Whitmer, station manager of Faith Radio. Now, we know that Max was talking about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Listeners tune to Faith Radio every day to grow spiritually, to understand the Scriptures better, and to find encouragement and hope. When you support this ministry during our fall fundraiser known as Share, whether they listen over the air, online, through our mobile app or website, or on demand, the truth is, they are encouraged and many have eternal life-changing encounters with Jesus because of you. Your gift of $1,200 or $100 per month covers the cost of a day of programming on Faith Radio. Is that a level that feels right for you and your budget? If yes, please visit myfaithradio.com to start your ongoing monthly pledge today. That's myfaithradio.com. And remember, hope in Jesus changes everything.
This afternoon, we are really happy to talk with Kathy Lipp. Kathy has been a regular guest on Faith Radio from time to time. In fact, she's on a number of media outlets, and we're always honored to just have her with us. Kathy is the author of some 17 books, including Clutter Free, The Get Yourself Organized Project, The Husband Project, and Overwhelmed. And she's also host of Clutter Free Academy, the podcast, and runs the Facebook group Clutter Free Academy, where thousands of women and a few brave guys support each other in living a clutter-free life. And, boy, that's always a timely topic, and we're going to get into that and more in the moments ahead. Kathy, welcome back to Faith Radio. Good to talk with you.
Oh, Neil, it's always great to be on with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, so I think we probably should start with clutter. I'm thinking, you know, one of the reasons we want to talk is it's back to school time, kids, you know, getting in the routine. And I know you have a lot of things to say about, you know, helping us maybe get the year off to a good start. But I'm thinking there's probably right now a few households where the kids have come home and the dining room table or kitchen table is full of books and papers and everything. And, you know, it's Clutter-free is not the order of the day.
Well, you know, we moms especially, and I know there are a few dads out there who really have it going on. You know, we start off so well. We have the color-coded binders, and, you know, we have the place where we want everybody to put things when they get home. But then you have to introduce humans into it, and the humans are the ones who always mess it up. And so it's trying to work with those humans, especially little humans for the most part, and also just being tired, you know, to stay on top of stuff. It does take a certain, not just physical energy, but brain injury to stay on top of it. But when you can, I always call it, you know, taking care of your future self. Hmm. If I put the dishes in the dishwasher now instead of waiting until tomorrow morning, boy, my morning's going to be so much better. So I'm taking care of the future version of me, and that's just a huge blessing. But it does take just a tiny bit of self-discipline in the beginning.
You know, I was thinking as we're getting ready for the conversation today that I just moved into a different office, and I've got, you know, stuff sort of, I moved quickly, stuff's just sort of piled up, and it's like, you know, to set aside some time to clean up or to get organized, it just feels like, you know, that takes a lot. I mean, you do have to set aside some time, and then, of course, you always have to have the time to keep it clean, too. But that works at the household level, too, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. And, you know, most of us have some kind of office in our house. And so what I like to talk about is just setting aside some time. I call it prep and plan time. And I always think about it this way. For every 15 minutes that I pull back and I, you know, schedule the dentist appointments and put away the books so I can find them again. And all of those things, they feel like they're taking time. But for every 15 minutes I do that, I'm probably gaining 45 minutes later on where I'm not having to make the emergency dentist appointment. Yeah. You know, that's the one that's going to take all the time and money. If I take care of things now, I'm not going to have to do the emergency stuff later on. If I put the book away where I can actually find it again in 2 months, that means I don't have to go to Barnes & Noble or go on Amazon and rebuy the book because I can't find it. So it's really investing in your own sanity and your own time to be able to pull back. And even if it's just 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day of that prep and planning is just going to pay, not just in time and just peace, peace in your house, being able to find things. And is there anything better than looking for something and actually knowing where it is? I mean, that's the best feeling in the world.
No question about it. We're talking with Kathy Lipp. She, among other things, hosts the Clutter-Free Academy, the podcast, and has a Facebook group, a Clutter-Free Academy. So maybe let's just, before we dive into some other maybe ways to get the school year off right, talk about some key tips for decluttering.
Oh, well, okay. So my favorite one for back to school is that when you pick up your kids from school, say that they are you're picking them up in the car or you're taking them, is to have two bags in your car. One is for garbage and recycling, and the other is stuff that mom needs to do. So if there are permission slips that need to be filed or, you know, filled out, or notes from the teacher or anything like that, it could be in a bag or it could be in a little folder. So while kids are sitting in the back, you say, hey, it's time to, you know, go through your backpack and to get all of that ready. And then the next time you're at the gas station, you can throw away the garbage, you can take the recycling back into your house, and you have all of mom's work or dad's work right there in that folder or other bag so that you can stay on top of it instead of having that notice sit in the backpack growing old, you know, for days on end and the teacher wondering, why do I never get this stuff back from this parent? So I really believe before you get into the house, get all of that stuff taken care of. And also, while the kids are in the car, might as well have them pick up any garbage or recycling that's in the car, too. You know, it's a double whammy to stay on top of it.
That's a great tip. And I know, I think you've said before something like, you know, a place for everything and everything in its place. I guess that's probably just good common sense. And getting things maybe laid out a little bit the night before so it's not quite such a crush in the morning.
Right. I getting out the door is all about the night before. Mm. And so having a place by the front door where you can put, the backpacks, your computer bag, a charging station so that you can charge your computer if you're taking it to work. And then one of the things I like to do is if you are constantly forgetting your lunch, you pack it the night before and you forget your lunch, which I have done several times. Now I put my car keys on top of that lunch in the fridge. I cannot leave home without it.
That is another great idea. So, Kathy, has this been a work in progress for you, or were you naturally organized as a 5-year-old child? You had all your colors, ready and to go, all that sort of thing?
Oh, goodness, no. You know, my dad was actually a hoarder, a real-life, legit hoarder. And so I had to learn as an adult how to survive without any of the skills that some people actually learn when they're young. And so I had to make these things up as I went along. It's a lot of trial and error. But the good news is I really didn't have anybody that I had to – I wasn't following anybody else's rules. I could kind of make it up as I went along. And so that's been so beautiful and so freeing to say, I'm only going to keep what actually works for me and my family. And I have 4 adult children. They've all survived. They were all fed on a regular basis. So I feel like that's a huge win from, the lifestyle I grew up in. And my mom did her best, let's just be honest. But when you're living with a hoarder, it's a constant battle. And so I'm really grateful that, God just kind of lined me up with people who could give me some of the tools and help teach me some new things. And I really had to study and learn and become the best version of this, because God loves order. That we see that throughout the Bible. Everything is put in order. And I want my home to be a reflection of that, not just because I want to impress people when they come in. That's not my goal. But my goal is that we can function as a family and do the things that God has called us to.
Having a great conversation with Kathy Lipp. Kathy's author, best-selling author of books like Clutter Free and the Get Yourself Organized Project and the Husband Project and Overwhelmed. And we're going to get some more tips on how to be successful, get the school year off right, and just to really make a positive difference in our homes and helping our kids. And we'll get to more with Kathy Lipp in a moment here on The Afternoon Show. Well, Kathy Lipp is my guest as we're talking today about getting organized. It's kind of back to school times. It's a good time to maybe reset, realign some priorities, just pick up the house a little bit and get into a better routine. Kathy, among other things, hosts the Clutter-Free Academy, the podcast. She also has a Facebook group called Clutter-Free Academy, where there's thousands of women and a few brave guys support each other in living a clutter-free life. So we've been talking about reducing clutter, but are there some other maybe big principles that we think about when it comes to back to school? We want to make it get the year off to a good start. What are some key things to think about?
Well, I think it's going beyond just organizing for yourself and your family. One of the questions I always want to say is, what can I do for that teacher? How can I support them in what we are trying to accomplish here? And so being strategic about saying, hey, saying in the beginning of the year, hey, I can do 1 hour of support, whatever you need. If you need me to come in and wipe down tables in the classroom, or if you need me to grade some papers. And I know an hour doesn't seem like a lot, but to a teacher who would like to spend some time with her family, that could be the difference between tucking her kids in or not. And so I would just say, how can I be a support, and how can I show my kids that I value what their school and what their teacher is doing? And when you commit to it in the beginning, you're saying, what are my lesser priorities? What are the things that I can get rid of right now so I am able to do this? And it shows value to not just the teacher, but to your child as well. I think the other thing is giving kids skills as early as possible. Saying after dinner, hey, we pack our lunches now, and the kids know to go grab the the thermos so that they can have the, they can fill up their water bottle. But they can be a part of that, and you can be turning over chores and responsibilities to them when it's age appropriate, because that helps everybody. The biggest companies in the world take time away from productivity to train. And that's what we as parents do as well. We're not just trying to get them through the school year. We're trying to train them for life.
Which is maybe one of the our big challenges as parents, isn't it? We want to do it all. I heard a phrase the other day that it's not so much helicopter parents anymore, snowplow parents. We come in and push everything out of the way. That may just be a upper Midwest thing, but it is a reminder that we probably do too much most of the time.
Oh no, I live in California, and while we don't have a ton of snow, we have a ton of snowplow parents who are just trying to make everything easier. And there are times when we need to do that. But we want to raise empowered kids who are able to make a powerful difference in the world. And so teaching them skills young, not before they are capable, but as they are, is real. One, it doesn't just contribute to your family, it contributes to society. And those are the kind of people we want to be bringing into the world. So, yeah, it's not just the helicopter, it's the ones who are clearing the path to make everything easy for their child. And I understand the want to do that, but I also understand that my kids are going to face difficulties, whether they're under the protection of my house or if it waits till later until they're on their own. I'd like them to be able to do the hard things in the safety of my house so that they have a safe place to land.
Sure. Kathy, there's probably some people listening right now that are, picking up kids after the first few days of school or, just out in the car and would like to have a conversation. But sometimes you get that, how was your day? You get the one-word answer, fine, okay, or nothing.
Right.
How do we build a little deeper connection there?
Oh, I love that question. So first of all, no yes or no answers, because yes or no answers stop the conversation. But one of the things that we as parents need to do is that active listening. So when, they do tell us that we could continue the conversation, not just in the car on the same trip, but the next day as well. And so I have actually been known to, when we get home, write down the names of the people that my kids were talking about so I can remember the next day. And did you get to sit next to Haley at lunch? Or how was Mrs. Smith when it came to, that project you were working on? Being able to really engage and remember, and then asking those open-ended questions, not yes or no, but going beyond the fine answers. And so when we're able to sit down with our kids and have those conversations, and, at one point each day, there just needs to be that connection around the table. I know there are some families who sit down for every meal. I think that's a modern day miracle. I don't understand how any family can do that. But I think that there is an opportunity, whether it's breakfast or dinner, for our families to get around the table and connect with each other. And so what does that look like in your house? And one of the things that we did is there are some great table talk questions. You can just Google that or go onto Pinterest and, dinner time conversation starters. And you can have those in the car. You could have those on your dinner table. But we used to do those when my kids were younger, and my kids would ask for them. Who knew that our kids would ask to have a further and deeper conversation? But they were silly questions like, if you could be invisible for a day, what would you do? And, it's so much more fun to talk about than did you do your homework? And so we still have to have the homework conversations, but let's have the fun conversations as well.
I like it. Speaking of sitting around the dinner table, I know you've written and talk about that a lot too, the What's for Dinner Solution, one of your books. Any thoughts on how we could maybe actually make that a little bit easier and maybe do more meals together?
Oh, I think that's such a great concept. So one thing is you don't have to be fancy about your dinners. If you just do, maybe every Monday night is breakfast for dinner. Wednesdays are, Mexican food, tacos, something like that. Friday is always pizza. Thursday, you're doing a big salad or a vegetable soup. Just if you do the same thing every week, some variation on it, because I think the hardest part about dinner is actually deciding what to have for dinner. And so to have a schedule is great. Like, one of the services I love is Eat at Home Cooks. It's a website where they give you meal plans. And just to be able to go to the store and buy the ingredients and be done is a beautiful thing. And then I love freezer meals. We do a big batch freezer cooking about once every 6 weeks, and we'll do like 18 meals during that. And boy, you know, to not have to decide what's for dinner, but to be able to bulk buy and bulk cook is just a huge relief.
And, you know, again, those, as you said, maybe, you know, preparation and planning time, 15 minutes can save you 45 just in any right. number of these areas, right?
Oh, especially when it comes to cooking. I would say, you know, if you can spend 10 minutes writing on the back of an envelope what you're going to eat this week and just take the envelope to the store, it is going to save you so much stress and drama. It is the solution to all of this.
Well, maybe that's kind of what we're looking to reduce, right? Stress and drama. And I was thinking maybe the other word was chaos, but I mean, that all those aren't necessarily good words for a healthy whole family.
Right. Well, and we talk about this concept in Overwhelmed about pre-deciding. You know, it's saying, okay, pre-deciding says this is what we do on Mondays. You know, this is the kind of dinner that we do. We do breakfast for dinner because it's pre-decided. I don't have to think it through. It's already done. And we do pizza on Friday. Now, maybe it's pizza with a cauliflower crust and it's super healthy. That's great, but we're going to do pizza and I don't have to make that decision, because I think what ends up happening is we delay decisions because we just can't settle on the perfect decision. And then we're in the supermarket at 5 o'clock, spinning around in circles, grabbing a rotisserie chicken and a bag of salad again. And so if we can just pre-decide and say, this is what we're going to do. And then as you get that area under control, you can become more creative. But until then, that's just what you do. It's a beautiful thing.
Hmm. Kathy, just a moment left here before the break. People want to find out about the Clutter-Free Academy podcast or any other of your writings or conversations. What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, my favorite way to connect is on Facebook. And if you just search for Clutter-Free Academy, you'll find our group. You answer just a couple of questions so we can make sure you're not a robot. And then you get to join 6,000 people who are trying to live clutter-free every single day. That's my favorite way to connect.
I like it. Kathy Lipp with us today, and we're going to hold Kathy over for just a little bit more and do a little bonus conversation with Kathy, and we'll do that after the break. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold today, talking with Kathy Lipp, author of and podcaster, speaker, talking Clutter-Free Academy, and we'll have more in just a moment. Afternoons with Bill Arnold is the show name. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill, who's taking some time off this week. I was going to say he's off this week, but then we can joke about all he's a little off every day, but that's what makes him Bill. He'll be back with a great show on Monday and the next week as well. Of course, our fall share event fundraiser is coming up here in just a little over a week, too. So thank you for preparing and thinking about that. Coming up, we're going to get a little bonus time with Kathy Lipp, who is an organization expert, and I hope you've enjoyed getting the good tips from Kathy. I do want to just say that this is our the final half hour of our Friday afternoon. We spend some time taking your calls for Answered Prayer Friday. So this is an opportunity for you to call in and simply celebrate how God has answered prayer in your life. Maybe it's something recent, or maybe it's something that has happened over the course of time, but it is something that is on your mind today. And if you just pause to think about it for a minute, you say, yeah, that was an answered prayer, and I want to just praise God for that. Give us a call. You can queue up now. We got just a couple minutes. We'll extend our time with Kathy, but then be ready to take your calls at 877-933-2484, 877 93 Faith. It's Answered Prayer Friday. You can call or text with your either a prayer request or hopefully you have an answered prayer. And you can share that with us, and we'll talk to you in just a few minutes. Stand by. Kathy Lipp with us today. We've got a few more minutes, Kathy, just to and thank you for hanging on, just some bonus time. But I was thinking that I know you've written a number of books, 17, Get Yourself Organized, The Husband Project, Overwhelmed. I know that you've also shared about, you know, you have gone through and come into a blended family, and your kids are all grown now. But I'm just thinking that maybe there's a word of encouragement for the single mom or the mom in a blended family that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's back to school time or any time, things just aren't really going all that well. What's your encouragement?
Well, let me talk to the single mom first, because I was very fortunate that I had my parents' support, but I also know that can be a very lonely time. You are concerned about your kids' hearts, but also, Mom, I want you to take care of your heart. Do me a favor and reach out to a friend. Go get that $3 cup of coffee. Connect with somebody. And just spend some time being encouraged by a friend, because I understand these can be very lonely days when you're trying to do all of it by yourself. And then to our friend who is part of the blended family, can I just say, I love my husband more than anything else in the world besides God. But the first 5 years, oh my goodness, it takes 5 years to blend a family. It really does. Even when everybody's doing their best, even when everybody's trying, to blend a family takes a good 5 years. And if you can hang on through that, it's amazing, amazing how I see it happen over and over again in these families when that can just gel. So the watchword for a blended family is just grace. You know, everybody is in their own level of hurting. And I would say back to school time is one of the hardest times for that, because we're figuring out roles and responsibilities. And so just be that cornerstone of grace for a family who's doing their best.
I know you've written one of the books, the 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. And I think, you know, there are times maybe when our kids, various seasons, don't want to connect with us, and or they don't,
right.
They're not, you know, living in a way that is honoring to us or to the Lord. What's some of your encouragement there?
So, you know, I've dealt with this with all four of my kids, both by birth and blending. And so watchword is, you know, God has called me to love these kids. And it doesn't mean I have to approve of everything that they do. But even when they do things I disapprove of, it doesn't change my love for them. I don't withhold love. I don't withhold connection. What I do say, you know, hey, if we're going to have an honest relationship, you need to understand this is not what I see is the best choice for your life, but that doesn't change my love for you. And so to be able to double down on the love, even when we can't throw in the approval or the endorsement, it shows our kids who we belong to. God can love us even when we do things that he doesn't love and disapproves of, but his love for us never changes. And that's how I have to look at my own kids.
Kathy, so appreciate your wise words as always. Love connecting with you, and wish you a great season ahead here. And thank you for carving a little time with us today.
Oh, Neil, it's always my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, well, here we are now, 23 minutes before the top of the hour. And for the rest of the hour, we've got open phones and opportunity for you to check in, interact with us. It's Answer Prayer Friday. It's a special time to reflect on how God continues to work on our behalf in our lives in ways that we maybe didn't expect or didn't see, right? Mark Batterson says, the primary reason we lose faith is because we've forgotten the faithfulness of God. Maybe that's why the word remember is repeated 250 times in Scripture. We're asking you to just remember a time where God's answered prayer in your life, and then give us a call. The number is 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. We're going to start right in with Kathy, who's calling in on line one. Kathy, thanks so much for calling into the show. Looking forward to hearing your story.
I'm a bit shy, but I felt moved to call. I feel like
Thank you.
There's somebody out there that's going through a struggle, and they just need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So my prayer that was answered, when I was 8 years old, I was taken away from my family, put into foster care. Never did get placed back with them, but it was a long journey. It was very hard. But my prayer would answer, you know, I'm a grown woman now. I have kids. But when I was 8 years old and I was scared and alone and it was at night, and I was in Detroit, so it was quite a bad area, and I would just pray to God, make this better, you know, show me the way, please make it better. And it was a long journey. There was some terrible hiccups and some side turns, but at this point, as a woman who's grown, I have my own children now, I could not be more blessed. And I've been listening to your radio station. I'm kind of recently born again. Interesting enough that my 5-year-old actually led me back to God from the mouths of babes, but I could not be more blessed. So I guess I've been hearing stuff on your radio, and it's so true where you're talking about, you know, this ministry reaches out and it helps people, and it's been very helpful to me. But God's time is perfect. And at this point, I could not be more blessed. I'm healthy. I have my children. I'm married. I have a fantastic husband. I have a great job. You know, we're financially stable. And from being that scared little 8-year-old in foster care, statistics were not with me to be successful. It should have been a cycle that never ends. I should have never grown up and been successful. And I should have never grown up and had a happy, stable marriage. And only through the grace of God that happened. And I was listening to one of your preachers on the radio, and it said basically something about fruit ripening, and there's going to be hard times in your life, but God gives you just enough, and there's a purpose to your pain. And though it was painful, I just actually got the most random setup with kind of through the YMCA, like a big sister, big brother program, with a teenager that's in foster care that needs a little guidance. And it's beautiful to be able to put my pain and my suffering, the bad experiences that I had, and hopefully help this young lady be successful in life as I've been blessed to be. So I hope that resonates with somebody's heart. But no matter how bad it is right now, God is listening, and his timing is perfect, and reaping the reward just right. Like, his timing is perfect. I promise you there's a bigger and better plan.
Wow, what a great story. Kathy, if you don't mind, I do want to just find out a little bit more about, you know, you said recently you've come to faith and that your 5-year-old played a role in that. I think, you know, we're all just interested in hearing a little bit more about that story. So just share a bit about that.
Yes. From the mouths of babes, I had connected as an adult with my biological father and reconnected with him, and even my older sister are extremely Christian, and they were trying to bring me to the faith, but the time wasn't right, and their way of approaching me was very much with a judgmental God, and I needed that Savior God. I needed that one that would give his only son for me, for a wretch like me that doesn't deserve his grace and his mercy. And it was my 5-year-old, he was talking to one of my sister's children, who's also young, and she does very good. She prays with them every night, reads the Bible, which I'm lacking and I'm doing now. But my 5-year-old was talking about something. I didn't know if he was talking about an alien or what he was talking about. He's talking to me in the sky, and I realized he's trying to tell me about God. So my 5-year-old was trying to tell me about God and heaven and how much he loves us and, you know, just how he created everything. And isn't that amazing, Mom? There's this, you know, guy, and he lives in the sky, and he made everything, and he loves us. And I realized kind of devastatingly that I'd failed him as a mother, because I should have already taught him about God. And in this world and in America, we have a very bad culture that teaches you almost that it's taboo to talk about God. So if I'm not going to tell him about God, who is? So I got my butt in gear, and God was absolutely leading me the way, because randomly enough, I was watching a YouTube video, and it was a makeup tutorial, random. The lady at the end gave a verse from the Bible, and I don't remember what the verse was, but I also, I work in the medical profession, and I had a patient, and they were telling me about this church locally that's really great. It happens to be down the street from my house. So I finally went there, and they said the same exact verse that day, and I just could not have felt more led to that church. God works in mysterious and wonderful ways, but I felt led there, and it's been a great church, and they were talking about God's grace and God's love and God's mercy, and that even though you can be a good person, you will never be good enough. That's why Jesus came and died for you on the cross.
Wow. Kathy, you've blessed me, and I know all our listeners, thank you for heeding God's prompting and your son's, tender heart.
He is so into it, and I had to go buy a Bible, and I didn't even know where to buy a Bible. Hobby Lobby, they sell them. I didn't even know that. But God, gentle pushing, but he was strongly nudging me to these places where such random things, like I went to, Hobby Lobby to go buy vines for a craft. They had Bibles at the checkout. Hmm. God saying, here you go. You need that extra hand. Here you go. And watching things on YouTube, and for such a random jump to say, here's this verse. I go to the church. Here's this verse. And it's been beautiful. And I've been listening so much to your radio station, and absolutely when you guys are doing your member drive and you talk about how you're helping people come back to Jesus and share the word. And for myself personally, I am so very grateful for this radio station. I have quite a bit to learn, and I really want to do a good job teaching my kids about Christ. So I very much appreciate everybody that helps this radio station exist.
Well, thank you. You've said it so well, and that's really at our heart too. So Kathy, we thank you, we bless you, and pray for you and your family. And so glad you called and shared today. What an encouragement you are.
Thank you. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you for joining with us today. It's Answered Prayer Friday. Would love to hear from you. How's God been answering prayer in your life? Maybe it might have been prayers in your kids' lives you responded to. Well, the phone lines are open for you to call at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You can call or text, and just love to hear your answered prayer. Or you maybe have a prayer need. We'd be honored to pray with you about that as well. So we'll take a quick little break, come back, and look forward to hearing from you. Lines are open, so it's your time here. The rest of the hour, it's just opportunity for us to be encouraging each other as we consider, again, God's faithfulness. God hears, he answers prayer. Let's celebrate that together. 877-93-FAITH. I do like that tune and that visual picture. I see grace on every horizon. What a friend. Hey, it's Answer Prayer Friday today on the afternoon show, and our phone lines are open at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You can call or text asking for you just to let us know how God has answered prayer in your life, or maybe there is a prayer need. You're welcome to share that as well. I was thinking about seeing grace in every horizon. Mark Batterson said, prayer turns us into first-class noticers. It helps us see what God wants us to notice. The more you pray, the more you notice. As Kathy was telling her story here a few minutes ago, it reminded me of a friend of mine who was talking about he had a young child who had some health needs and was in hospital and had to face some surgeries. And so he just reminded him of Psalm 56:3. It says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And that little boy just memorized those verses and just said them over and over again as he kind of waited in the hospital for that surgery. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 56:3 might be a good word for you to hang on to. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to Jody in Waterloo. Jody, thanks for calling. What's your story?
Yes, I have a granddaughter, and she turned 18, and of course they are kind of supposed to find something to do with their lives, and she chose AmeriCorps. Hmm. She was accepted into this, and I was very concerned because for a year I did not know what kind of who she would be with, and we our family did not really know for sure where she was going. It might have been Guam or Puerto Rico, and mainly who she was going to be with. And so I went to church, and I had prayer about her. And they said, well, even stand on your front step and declare that she will be okay, and God will work this out. And so I, in a roundabout way, did that. And then she flew with her mother to their base, South Carolina or something. And I had called her on her cell phone and asked how she was doing. Well, she says, I'm doing okay, Grandma. And she had a roommate. They had little dorms. And I still kept praying about it. I just did not know how she was going to be treated, if she was grounded enough to take what she may see and sure. what, you know, what she might hear. And then I called her again, and I said, well, then a couple days later, I said, how you doing? And she, we talked a little bit, and she said, oh, she got supper, and she was sharing a dorm with different girls. And then it was a couple days later, I had a car drive up in the driveway, and I looked out, and there was her brother getting out and a couple other kids, and I thought, well, for some reason they're coming here to talk. So I let them in. Well, I went to the door, and the first one I saw was this granddaughter I had been praying for. Mm-hmm. So I believe God closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it maybe is for someone else, but it maybe wasn't for her. So I feel as if that was an answer to prayer. I feel better about it. Mm. So I would like to thank God for kind of guiding her back.
You know, God guides through a variety of ways, doesn't he? That's
he does.
A good reminder, Jody. Glad that you called and that you've seen God working in not only your life, but in your granddaughter's life as well, and pray that that would be an important step for her as well, and maybe open up new doors of opportunity.
Yes. Thank you so much. I love your station. I really learned a lot from it, and I just thought I would call and give the Lord the praise.
Well, he's the one who deserves it, doesn't he? So we're
yes,
grateful.
Yes, most certainly does.
Jody, thanks so much. Are you listening on the FM now, 93, or are you listening to AM 1090?
I listen to, I believe it is Brooklyn, 99.7.
Yeah, okay, good.
AM.
Well, we're glad to have you listening in and appreciate you calling today. So have a wonderful Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Yep.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Thinking about 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that we've asked of him. That's the 1 John 5. 14. And Corrie Ten Boom says, we never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. If we're true intercessors, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray. Taking your prayer comments this afternoon, thinking maybe we should play a little segment from Paul Miller. Let's do that Ask One. Paul Miller, I was listening to Family Life Today the other day, and I think it was Dennis Rainey. I think that was the program. He mentioned The Praying Life, a book from Paul Miller. It says the best book he'd ever read, the one that changed his life the most, perhaps. Paul Miller has written a book called A Praying Life, Connecting with God in a Distracting World. And he just has an interview that we talked to some time ago, a little bit about bold asking. And he said, you know, there's kind of two ditches we can get into. One is not asking. The other is asking selfishly. Let's give a listen.
Probably the perfect balance of that is Jesus at Gethsemane, where he asks boldly, Father, take this cup from me. And then he surrenders completely and says, not your will, but mine be done. And so what that does is it kind of frees my spirit to tell God what I want and then to pull back and say, God, what do you want? But not a lot of people shut down that first part. They edit their prayers before they get them out. They edit their heart. It doesn't mean that all you're praying is right, but that kind of self-editing people do with their prayers keeps people from being real with God. And God would much rather have us real than plastic, because the real me is going to come out anyway. So why don't you tell God what you want and then watch what God does?
Well, so how do we deal with, though, Jesus' extravagant promises? You look at John, you know, 14, John 15, John 16, I mean, time and again, ask right. whatever you want in my name. Yeah. And I was like, well.
Yeah. And what most Christians do is, quite honestly, is they go quietly cynical and say, and they don't even say it to themselves. And they say, yeah, right. And I would just say, ask. Just be what a little child does when he or she hears that is, okay, ask. And they'll start asking. In fact, if I had to summarize in one word all of Jesus' teaching on prayer, if I read everything Jesus said about prayer and then say, now I want you to summarize that in one word, it would be, everybody says it's so easy, it's the word ask. And I just think we get so frozen. And it doesn't mean all our asking is right. It doesn't mean that God's given us a blank check. God is not a genie, but he is almost you need to picture him like a really wealthy, generous friend who really wants to do you good.
I do like that. Paul Miller written a great book called A Praying Life. Paul has a family with a severely disabled or special needs child and has really had a lot to say about that. It was a good interview from a few years back. You could find it. It's on the podcast at myfaithradio.com. I encourage you to check that out. Let me close with Dallas Willard's version of the Lord's Prayer from The Divine Conspiracy. Willard writes it this way. Dear Father, always near us, may your name be treasured and loved. May your rule be completed in us. May your will be done here on earth in just the way it's done in heaven. Give us today the things we need today, and forgive us of our sins and impositions on you as we are forgiving all who in any way offend us. Please don't put us through trials, but deliver us from every bad thing. Because you are the one in charge, and you have all the power and the glory too is all yours forever, which is just the way we want it. Dallas Willard putting it well for us today. Thank you for praying for Faith Radio. Thank you for supporting. Have a great weekend, a holiday weekend, and our fall share beginning September 11. We'd be so honored to have you stand with us if you've not gotten involved before. And for those that have already given and give faithfully, God bless you. We so appreciate you. Many years of faithful support that we have to build on and look forward to a great year ahead. Well, look forward to a great weekend. If you missed any part of today's show, you can catch it again online at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.